Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Live lessons from Joseph, isn't it? Has it been a blessing to you? We're in lesson 9. We stopped at lesson 9 last week, I believe. Is that right? Okay. And it's been such a tremendous a time of revelation and insight into secrets and mysteries for greatness. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 12 says, not being slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Very important. I'm going to say there's an unusual release of grace, an unusual release of encouragement, of momentum when we look and study carefully the story of those who have walked the path of greatness and success. Very important. Do you know that it is God's will for us to be great? We didn't start out desiring to be great. God made the move first. Abraham was on his own when God met him. Abraham, I want to make you great. Can you imagine? He was on his own. He did not pray. Did you see anywhere in the Bible where Abraham prayed to God, oh Lord, make me great. Oh Lord, I want to be a great man. Did you ever see that in the Bible? No. He was on his own when God came and met him. He says, Abraham, I want to make you great. I want to make you great and make your name great. He was there on his own. And that is a seed. That is to show us that God is more interested in our greatness than we could ever be. For example, we did not ask Jesus to come. Man did not fast and pray for Jesus to come. God knew that we needed a savior to come and die. He made the move first. Glory to God. So life has always been about God making the first move and us, we making a move of faith for the full manifestation of what needs to be done. Can I get an amen? Very important. Greatness is our birthright. The seed of greatness is in every believer, is in every one of us. And by the way, let me say this. I've said this again and again, that greatness doesn't just mean fame. It doesn't mean to be famous. Fame is temporary popularity, remember? And greatness is enduring relevance. Enduring relevance. Enduring relevance in the direction of God's plans and purpose for you. In the place he has planted you, the industry he has planted you, enduring relevance. That is greatness. Not temporary popularity. Hallelujah. It is God's will. But see, there are laws that govern it. This is why the Bible talks about insight into mysteries and secrets. About the mind of God concerning you and concerning how he wants your life to turn out. Amen. So we started going through the life of Joseph, who we said is a type of Christ and a type of the church. And we landed on lesson 9. We said lesson 9 is what again? Love. Love. Love will always put you over and ahead. Let me just say this as a side stop. It will encourage someone. Have you noticed, as a pattern, when you observe the lives of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, have you noticed that the blessing walks outside of the comfort zone? Have you noticed, hello? Have you noticed that? That the manifestation of the fullness of the blessing, circumstances, things will always happen to push them out of the comfort zone. It means there's always a stepping out. There's always a feel of discomfort when the blessing is about to walk in a person's life. Abraham, the blessing did not walk while he was in his father's house. God said, leave your father's house and go to a land that I will show you. That's some discomfort. Living where you are comfortable with. Very important. If you are holding on to comfort and then you are angry about discomfort, especially when God wants to rock your boat and shake some things off, you are not ready for the blessing to work. Abraham was told to leave. Move to where he doesn't know yet. Just trust in God. And then the blessing began to walk while he was on his way. What about Jacob? Everything that his father left him was consumed by the famine. He wanted to leave and go to Egypt. And God told him, don't worry. Stay here and I will bless you. Stay here and I'll bless. God had to intervene. And in that famine, in that drought and famine, the Bible says he sowed in the same land. He reaped 100-fold. And God began to bless him. And he began to prosper. He went forth prospering until he became what? Very prosperous. And the Philistines envied him. Out of the comfort zone. War of Jacob. After he received the blessing, Esau was going to kill him. He ran and left everything he should have inherited physically. Out of the comfort zone. Your father just prayed for you and then you're on the run. With nothing. He says, with my staff, I've crossed over this Jordan. There's always this connection between the working of the blessing and starting out as though nothing is working. Am I talking to someone? He walks outside the comfort zone. He got into the house of Laban. His wage was changed 10 times. Also, Laban did him like this. But then the Lord blessed him. Until he became so mighty. He says, now I've become two bands. What about Joseph? How did the blessing come on him? Was he in his father's house? In Jacob's house? He was sold out. He was sold out. He was sold out. Listen, for serious shifts to happen, you will always take steps that will make you feel uncomfortable. Always take steps. Sometimes those steps is by the voice of God, by insight and light, and you are stepping out that you feel uncomfortable. Doesn't mean God is not inside. Is somebody listening to me? In fact, be confident knowing that this blessing works in the uncomfortable place. Hallelujah. All right, back to lesson 9. Love will always put you above and ahead. That's lesson 9, right? Love will always put you above and ahead. And we said, we took that from Genesis 49, 1 to 15. We read it. When you go home, you can read it. And it was a picture, an explanation, the story rather, of how Joseph reacted to his brothers when he revealed himself. We saw that his response was without guile. His response was without revenge, without bitterness, without heaviness of heart, without hatred, without unforgiveness. The Bible says he hugged them, kissed them, cried on their shoulders, and had a perspective that reflects love. He said, he was telling his brothers, don't beat yourself so much. For God sent me ahead of you. Meaning, because of love, he always saw God in every negative situation. And we said last week that when men treat you, ill-treat you, don't treat you properly, look beyond the actions of men and see what is behind it. See God at work behind that action. That is how love thinks. We say love is a posture of your heart, a posture of your mind that sees things, people, and situations the way God sees them and demonstrates affection and compassion towards them. Are you following me? Very important. You know, sometimes when we mention love in church, some people just think it's just a feminine concept. Okay, walking love, it sounds feminine. You are joking. Love is the foundation of the gospel. Listen, what we call the new covenant, the life of it is love. The beginning of God's redemption, of God's redemptive action is what? Love. From Genesis 3, when man committed treason and turned his back on God, God responded in love. What did man do? He went looking for his own solution. He cut fig trees and covered his nakedness. And I think I said it there before. Fig leaves are itchy. So look at man's attempt to cover himself. cutting fig tree, covering himself. He was going to itch him. I'm saying every of man's attempt to solve his sin problem will lead to more trouble. Amen. But look at what God did. He came and took an animal and took up the skin with that warm blood, covered man. Hallelujah. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoso believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The God kind of life. Amazing. Love has always been on the move. So love is not a feminine concept. The Bible says God is love. Listen, in your journey of greatness, in fulfilling God's plan and purpose for your life, something you must always pay attention to is your love work. Put me anywhere. Your love work, according to the scriptures, you always, have you noticed that before every major promotion, there will always be a love test? Observe, in your life, there will always be a love test. When you are faced with that test of love and compassion, know that the season is about to change. Some people don't understand this. Pay attention to that from today. You will always be confronted with an opportunity to show mercy. Is somebody listening to me? Some will just overlook. They don't know, they just threw the opportunity away. Very important. Love will always put you over and ahead. It doesn't matter what people have done to you. It's not about them. It has never been about them. It's about the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. It's about God's way of doing things. It's about the life and the nature of God taking hold of you. In this kingdom, love is the first and authentic indicator of your spiritual growth. Write it down. That love is the first, is the number one, and the most authentic indicator of your spiritual growth. Very important. Number one and the most authentic indicator. That means you can't claim that you are growing spiritually if you are not growing in love. Love toward God and love toward man. Very important. I believe we read Acts of the Apostles chapter 24 verse 16 last week when Paul said, in this do I exercise myself, to have a conscience that is void of offense toward God and toward man. It's an exercise. It's a training. Hallelujah. A conscience that is void of offense toward God and toward man. True love will create an atmosphere where the power of God works consistently. It's an atmosphere you carry. Because love is a dimension. Just like we talk about the fourth dimension, the faith dimension. Love is also a dimension. It's a realm of life. It creates an environment for the power of God to work. Listen to me. Do you have the Living Bible? If you have the Living Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3 to 8, you can put it up. Listen to me. No matter how you fast and pray and make sacrifices, if you are not paying attention to walking in love, there are things that will never work. It will not work. Very important. This is the very foundation of the kingdom of God. Babylon and the kingdom of darkness is built on selfishness and pride. The kingdom of God is built on love. In fact, when we talk about the righteousness of God, we're talking about the revelation of his love. That is what it really is. Glory to God forevermore. Love is a force that produces results. Glory to God. Just a moment to yourself. It says, even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned, or in order that I may glory but have not love, God's love in me, I gained nothing. Love endures long. Now, I said it's a dimension so it can be measured. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Right? That's what the law says. When he was talking to the disciples, he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And that's the measurement, right? So there was a way he loved. He said, as I have loved you. So when we read this, I want you to listen and always, from time to time, visit that place. It's to guide your love work. Love endures long and is patient and is kind. Patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. That means where there is love, there is no envy. Where there is love, there is no jealousy. In fact, let me just say this. Do you know there is no reason to be envious? There is no reason to walk in jealousy. It's a reflection of ignorance. When you get into the knowledge of God, you know that you can produce whatever you desire. You have the capacity to get what you desire. And God is faithful and willing to deliver to your hands that which you desire. If it's something you really desire and is in your heart as a believer, chances are it is consistent with the will of God for you. And there's sufficient power in you and with God to make it come to pass. Are you listening to me? So there's no reason to be envious. There's no reason. In fact, if you can't stand others getting blessed, you may never get blessed. Did you hear that? It's part of that love test. Someone you think you are more spiritual than, more hardworking, more diligent, will just blow. God is watching your reaction. You know, there are people who try to trivialize people's testimonies because of jealousy and envy. Don't be there. Learn to rejoice with people genuinely. In fact, it's possible you had seen more results than that. You don't need to sound so. You don't need to make their result like nothing. You know, there are people who do that. If I saw boast on other people's result, God just blessed me with this car. Let's see the car. Honda 99. John just bought 2013 model of the same car. No, John just bought 2013 model of the same car. He's not him, John. What he's trying to do is to make you feel like God did not do anything. Let me tell you something. Learn to rejoice with your little victories. Thank God for it. Rejoice about it. Be grateful to the Lord about it. And don't let anybody make you feel bad about what God is currently doing. Are you following me? The Bible says, he that hath, more shall be given. He that hath not, even that which he has shall be taken. Is that not what Jesus said? You know what they're saying? There's something you have, even when you are feeling you don't have. There's something to be grateful for. He's saying your attitude to what you currently have, your attitude to what God is currently doing, will affect what more you're going to get. You know, sometimes you look at someone else's promotion, someone else's open door, and forget what the Lord has done for us. If it's a testimony to you, it's a testimony to you. It may not be to someone else, but thank God for it and be grateful for it. Hallelujah. He said, love is not envious, no jealousy there. I'm going to read it to the end. Where did we stop? Okay. It's not envious, nor boils over with jealousy. Love is not boastful or vainglory. You can see love and pride doesn't go together. Does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on his own rights. Did you hear that? Or his own way, for it is not self-seeking. No, look at, did you know that Joseph had every reason to insist on his own right? But he didn't. In fact, after they buried Jacob, when I was studying Genesis, after they buried Jacob, the brothers of Joseph were scared. You remember? They sent a message to him that your father said this before he died, that please forgive them. And the Bible says Joseph began to cry. And then he called them. He says, am I God that I should hold your actions against you? And he vowed to take care of them and their little ones. What a man of love. That tells us of the character of Joseph. When he became prime minister, did you hear that he locked Potiphar and his wife up? Talk to me, somebody. Did you hear that? He said, that woman, lock her up. Nonsense. No, you are so full of love. I believe it was last week I was telling us that after Jesus was raised from the dead, the disciples who denied him forgot, they ran towards him. It tells us something about the personality of Jesus. They knew love is a spirit, it's an atmosphere, it can be perceived. When you love people, they know. Is somebody here? Be easily forgiving. Love does not insist on his own right. Not self-seeking. It is not touchy. Not touchy. You know what touchy means? They provoke easily. You know, provoke. Nigerian palace. Small thing, you are provoked. Not haughty. Not easily provoked. Not touchy, sorry. Not touchy. Or fretful, or resentful. It takes no account of evil done to it. It pays no attention to suffered wrong. Meaning you don't catalog evil. You don't catalog all the wrongs that were done to you. You know, there are people that have catalog. In 1985, my husband did this to me. I will never forgive him. And you are married to him. You are still in the house. You now have grandchildren. You have not forgiven him. Are you planning to go to heaven? He said, love doesn't catalog wrongs. It doesn't pay. Forget about it. And I've told you what to do. If you're finding it difficult to forgive, two things. Pray in the Holy Ghost about it and sow it. Demonstrate kindness. If I intercede for the person, and then if he doesn't leave, pray again and do combined therapy. Sow it. Glory to God. Are you listening to me? It frees you to fulfill your destiny. Imagine if Joseph was meditating on all that his brothers did to him. Did you know he wouldn't have become the prime minister of Egypt? Yes. Just die for nothing. I'm not sure he would have survived in Potiphar's house. Because listen, let me tell you something. The moment your focus is on wrongs, you get distracted. You can't see the big picture. You can't see the big mark. What will happen? You begin to arrange things by yourself. Let me tell you. Listen, where you are going, do you know you cannot arrange it? Breaking out, you cannot arrange it. You can't plan it. You can't strategize it on paper. When you break out, you can strategize how to manage it. But breaking out, Kai, is providence. You can no. Imagine Joseph waking up and saying, this is a strategy. Okay, the butler. You have to plan that the butler will dream. No, talk to me, somebody. You have to plan that, okay, someday a butler will dream. Okay, I'll interpret his dream. Then when he gets to the palace, Pharaoh will dream. Can you plan that? Even if you plan Pharaoh to dream, what if he doesn't call you? Pharaoh could dream and not tell the butler. He just tell his wife, you see this dream that I had? I don't understand, no. And goes to party and forget it. But the supernatural hand of God will insist that he talks to the butler, that he is troubled. Things will work out for you to come up. This is why you have to know letting people go should be easy. Because listen, for you rising, the hand of God has to be involved. Not the energy of your flesh. Is somebody listening to me? Say amen. Amen. Keeps no account of evil. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices with right and true people. Love bears up under anything. And anything that comes. You know, with this, you can't go to divorce courts. Yes, Selah. E.W. Kenyon wrote this many years ago. He says, agape love doesn't go to divorce courts. I didn't read this. You have. He said, love bears up under anything. Every circumstance. A preacher once said, we believe God to heal our sick bodies. We believe God for finances. So is our marriage separate? Talk to me, somebody. Small thing. People have gone to divorce court. Agape love doesn't go to divorce courts. He said it bears up under all manner. Under anything and everything that comes. Everything. Including the blow that comes. Kalabaya. Hallelujah. Of course, for wisdom's sake, we insist that when there's physical abuse, separation for a while. I've taught that here before. Amen. It's when you are still alive, you can walk in love. All right. Love is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are faithless under all circumstances. That means under all circumstances, you are hopeful. The person is acting useless, you are hopeful. Under all circumstances. Hopeful. 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 And it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. Never fades out. or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. So if your own love comes to an end, it's not God's kind of love. He said this love doesn't come to an end. He loves to the end. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then he began to talk about prophecy that will fail and all that and all that. Hallelujah. Amen. So don't forget this. Love will always put you over and ahead. Let me attempt to get into lesson 10 before we close first service. Lesson 10. Lesson from Joseph. I'm hoping to wrap up today. Lesson 10 is so broad. It's a series we can take for a whole month. But we'll give a compressed version. Write this down. This is very critical. Very, very critical. Lesson 10. Management and leadership skills are critical to your success on earth. Write it down. Write it down. Somebody's life is about to change. Management and leadership skills are critical to your success on earth. Look up at me, everyone. Have you noticed that people can be very skillful, very gifted, and their life amounts to nothing on the earth? Have you noticed that? This is where many people are trapped. Many are trapped. All right, let's take it from Joseph. In Genesis 37, we saw Joseph managing his father's flock. In Genesis 39, in Potiphar's house, we saw him managing the whole estate until Potiphar handed everything to him. Some of them say, but the Bible says the Lord was with Joseph. That was why he prospered. Yes, but have you forgotten that anything happening on earth is a partnership between God and man? Yes, we know that the Lord was with Joseph. But he had skill. Listen, for God to do anything in any life on earth, he must require the partnership of man. Very critical. There are patterns in scripture to show that. In fact, there are verses of scriptures to show that. Why did God choose Paul? Why did he have so much preeminence in the New Testament? He had a mind that was developed. He was a skillful writer. He was a skillful communicator. Is somebody following me? I believe I said this before, that the person who wrote the highest number of books in the Old Testament and the New Testament are enlightened in their mind. Moses was schooled in Egypt. Paul was schooled before Gamaliel. God has a preferred way of doing things. Have you noticed that this was the major trouble the children of Israel had in transiting from Egypt to the promised land? The capacity to lead and manage. In Egypt, there were slaves told what to do and didn't want to eat. In the promised land, they came into a land flowing with milk and honey. The problem was management and leadership. They were not ready for it. I'm going somewhere. Listen, every Christian, every believer in Jesus Christ, or as believers in Jesus Christ who were born into the promised land. Born into the promised land. Born into a land flowing with milk and honey. So much opportunity. You agree with me that let's go back to children of Israel leaving Egypt and into the promised land. Let me tell you, in case you don't know, their difficulty was in their mind. Their bodies left Egypt, but their minds were still there. They left bodily. Have you noticed that they always spoke about Egypt, about returning to Egypt? Slavery is powerful. Slavery has nothing to do with chains in the hands. It is the bondage of the mind. That is the biggest part of slavery. Is somebody listening to me? The bondage of the mind. The chains on the mind. You can free a man physically. If there are still chains on his mind, he's still a slave. What do you think happened to Africa? After the colonial masters left, somehow the colonialism was still in their minds. They felt they couldn't run it properly. They felt, somebody told me recently, that there are certain places you enter in government to look for contract, just look for white people as your associate. Once you enter there, everything will change. You see your permanent secretary trying to carry fire because he saw white people. It's sad, isn't it? What happened? They left physically, but intellectually, A black man still thinks he can't do it by himself. He can't. And this is why we feel our skin is inferior. This is why we feel our land is inferior. This is why we feel our people are inferior. That's sad. That's the power of slavery. Now, this point is very, very important. To step into the fullness of God's plans and purpose for your life, you must be interested in management and leadership skill. Very important. Very important. In fulfilling God's plan for your life, you are dealing with abundance. You are dealing with decision making. You are dealing with the land flowing with milk and honey. You are dealing with freedom. When you don't understand how to judiciously and intelligently use resources to accomplish tasks, to get things done, you have problems. You know, sometimes the testimonies we share make us feel this is God's preferred way of working. Someone can say, praise the Lord. I went for this job interview. Everything I was saying was rubbish. Rubbish, rubbish. But God was gracious to me. Gave me the job. Now I have the job. Praise the Lord. Everybody's happy. Once that becomes a pattern, we think what God does is to always cover up, even when what we are saying is rubbish. Did you hear that? So we think God is not interested in competence and sharpened skills. We attribute skills and competence to works and self-effort. Did you read about Paul, who was the apostle of grace, what he said? He says, I am what I am by the grace of God. He said, yet I labor more than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God that is in me helps me to labor. I'm paraphrasing now. Did you get that? That means the grace will help you labor. The grace will help you develop competence. Why? It is about adding value on earth and representing the kingdom. So Joseph did not say, let me ask you a question. The answer of peace that Joseph gave, was it rubbish? He was brought in to test his wisdom. Pharaoh said, there's no man discreet, no man wise in all of Egypt like you. So come and manage this. And guess what? That wasn't the first time he was managing things. In his father's house, he had managed stuff. At Potiphar's house, he had managed stuff. In the prison, the Bible says the head of the prison left everything to his hands. Brethren, do you know what it means to manage prisoners? Have you ever thought about it? You want me to manage prisoners? He must have been very skillful in human relations. Hallelujah. Very important. Your management skills. I've seen very gifted people not knowing how to manage resources, how to manage relationships, how to manage their minds, how to manage their monies, how to manage their time. There are three major areas I will talk about in management. But there are seven areas you must learn how to manage. Let me run through the seven. Number one, managing your mind. Did you get that? Number one, your mind. Number two, your money. Number three, relationships. Number four, managing your time. Number five, managing your desires, your appetite, your desire system. Number six, managing your emotions, your feeling system. Number seven, managing your tongue. Very important, but the top three are the ones I'm interested in talking about as it relates to Joseph. Managing your mind. managing relationships, and managing material resources. Hi. Have you noticed that Africa's major problem is management? Have you noticed? We have a culture of waste. Culture. It has become a culture. It doesn't mean it's African culture. How we got there, I don't know. So you know, say I'm insulting Africa. But how we got there, I don't know. Let me ask you a simple question. Do you think we have managed effectively the human resources we have in this country? Doctors are running away. We said there are no... We have not met WHO standard of number of doctors to citizen, and then we have them living all the time. Engineers are living. People migrating. The ones within, have we managed them? A country that thinks a university professor should be paid peanuts. We must get it right. Let's go back to Genesis. Did you know that the dominion mandate that God gave to Adam as his vice regent on the earth had to do with leadership and management? Have you noticed? Genesis 1 verse 27. The Bible says God created them in his image, and God made man in his image and likeness. Put it up for me. And then verse 28, he blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have what? Dominion. God gave them the blessing and said, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Go to Genesis 2 verse 15. You see clearly, it is leadership and management. So when we talk about dominion mandate, what God told Adam to do, and part of it was restored because of what Jesus came to do. It is management and leadership. And the Lord took the man and put him where? Talk to me, church. Put him where? In the garden of Eden. No, that looks like the promised land. The children of Israel came in. They didn't work for anything. He was already available. The problem was to dress it and keep it. That's management and leadership. He put him in a garden to dress it and to keep it. There's a garden that God has put you. He wants you to dress it and to keep it. Can I get an amen? Very important. You must learn how to manage your mind. Learn how to harness resources and make it productive. The blessing is already upon you. Understanding the management and the leadership is your step of faith in giving platform to the blessing to work. Is somebody following me? The blessing is already upon us. The Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. The same way that God blessed Adam and Eve and put them in the garden, he said, dress it and keep it from every intruder. By extension, it means replicate this garden around the world. Hallelujah. Are you listening? Management and leadership. Don't say, me, I'm not a leader. Me, I'm not a manager. No, your life alone needs to be managed and led. You want to be productive? We're talking about lessons from Joseph. You want to be productive, effective? These skills are critical. Oh, and I'm out of time. Rise to your feet.